Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
We have the lovely Martin Egerton, who's a PC.
Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon, thank you for having me.
What is it you do in the police service? I'm not allowed to call it force.
No, it's police service.
Police service, yes.
I'm currently a beat officer over at Yarmouth, so a neighbourhood policing team.
Oh, so you're based right down by the seafront then?
Yeah, nice views.
The old police station's gone, isn't it?
It has gone.
Completely,
isn't
it?
Turned into flats, I think.
I don't know, last time I passed it was a hole, but...
Yeah, I think the flats are coming. So, yeah, it's very quiet over there, very nice office views. It's pretty good.
Yes. So you are a beat officer. Do you have a specific area of interest?
So, yeah, so we're based out of Yarmouth. There's two teams that work there. I'm on one team. You have two PCs and three PCSOs on one team and two on another.
Mm-hmm.
And between the sort of seven or eight of us, we sort of cover pretty much all of Freshwater, Totland, right through the Military Road, down to Knighton and beyond. So we cover pretty much the whole of the island, but not the towns.
Oh, I
Ryde's
see.
Ryde's covered by Ryde police officers, Newport, Ventnor. And
so you're kind of rural then?
So it is definitely rural policing. Yeah, we are out there in the sticks. But you know, it's pretty good.
And you go out and about on your bike sometimes, don't
we
you?
We do go on our bike sometimes, yeah. The summer was pretty hot, so we did go out there the summer, but it was pretty warm.
Do you have a dispensation for not wearing your entire uniform when you're on a bike?
Nope, not really. Yeah. Nope, still got to wear all the kit. Yeah. Stab vest.
Yeah, and
the
whole
lot.
Wow.
Yeah, hard gets going, isn't it?
I've seen some of your colleagues in full kit in... We had a blisteringly hot summer, as you know.
Yeah, we did.
Wow, you must be hot in there, but cycling as well.
Yeah, it was pretty warm.
It's
quite
tough feet, isn't it?
So we're out there sometimes on bikes, sometimes on foot. Admittedly, not as much as we'd like to be.
Mm-hmm.
But quite often, because of the sort of large expanse of the area we cover, we have to use the vehicles as well. So
of course, you do, yeah.
Yeah.
So are you looking specifically for rural crime, or are you sort of generally...
I don't think they're looking for crime.
All right, now that's probably not the right way of putting it, but is rural crime the thing you're trying to prevent most? Or is it?
And basically, our role is really to sort of engage. We look at a lot of safeguarding within the community as well, so it's not just rural crime. This is sort of the West White sort of neighbourhood policing teams. So it's not just rural crime we deal with. There's a lot of safeguarding behind the scenes that go on. We investigate normal crime as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have what we call an inbox where jobs will drop down into us. We take those out daily and we go out and investigate those as part of a normal day-to-day routine.
Oh.
But any rural crime, so if you're looking at dogs worrying livestock, that would specifically come to us because we have the Country Watch officers as part of our team.
Okay, that makes sense, yes. Because rural crime is a specific area, isn't it? You've got, as you say, dogs worrying sheep is probably at one end of the scale, and people stealing combine harvesters is
the other. Yeah, that's exactly it. We've had that this year. Maybe not combine harvester, but certainly plant theft as well. We look at that and a lot of other things as well.
Yeah, so when you say Country Watch trained, what does that mean?
So Country Watch is just really an umbrella term. It's the same as Neighbourhood Watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's just things that we sort of keep an eye on throughout the countryside. The officers that are Country Watch trained will go off and do training on the mainland. That could be a week, 2 weeks, and it's regularly updated.
Mm-hmm.
They will look at things similar to sort of badgers, sets, dogs wearing livestock. They're very specific. Things on birds of prey, bats. Mm-hmm. It's very sort of knowledgeable. Japanese knotweed. All things like that. All things that no one else really knows about. So they are quite specific in what they do.
Mm.
I'm not a Country Watch officer.
No.
I'm just here as a sort of representative, really, and give you a quick oversight of what they do and what services they can offer.
Well, that's interesting because I didn't know. I mean, I do know there's things about Japanese knotweed and bats and protective species like badgers and birds of prey. I know there were specific people in the police.
There you
interesting
go.
Stuff.
There's only certain officers across the island that would do all that. There's one at Yarmouth and the two PCSOs at Yarmouth. And that's overseen by Inspector Jed Armitage.
We met Jed.
And then there's quite a lot of officers on the mainland as well. So it's only a very select few that get to have this training.
Mm. But it's worth it.
Yeah,
these things are important.
Yeah, no, it's definitely worth having. Their knowledge is very valuable. You know, they're the people that police will turn to if they've got a specific issue.
Yeah.
So if we're looking at rural crime, and I'm not going to put you on the spot too much, but is it a huge problem on the Isle of Wight?
I don't want to be complacent. At the moment, it's not a massive issue, but there are things that are on our radar that we need to keep an eye on.
Okay. Of course, yeah.
Well, I was thinking, you mentioned plant theft, and if you're talking about the larger pieces of agricultural equipment, it's not that easy to get rid of them off the island.
No, it's not. No, to be honest, and you know, obviously you've got White Link and Red Funnels that are really good as well. If they see something, they think, I'm not quite sure about this, they're pretty good nail phone in as well. So that border, the Solent, actually gives us quite a lot of protection over here.
It does.
Yeah, so...
That's what
I know we moan about the ferry prices, but actually...
But, well, yeah, I mean, it's not so much the price, the criminal's going to pay it, but it's being spotted taking something.
Exactly that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, you've got that. I'm going to have to sit for an hour on a ferry with a stolen piece of equipment.
Yeah, exactly.
That's interesting. What I'd like to do is we'll take a piece of music into the break. We'll come back and talk about a bit more crime prevention in the rural area.
That's no problem too.
We've still got PC Martin Egerton in, who's from our rural policing.
Based at Yarmouth.
That kind of puts him in a bracket, which he's not necessarily in, but he is based at Yarmouth, and that is fairly rural.
It is,
I know, because we live in Freshwater, and that's pretty rural. Get more than one car at a time goes past our house, and people start to look out the window.
Oh, no.
What's going on?
Oh, no.
It's pretty quiet over there. I used to live over there myself a long time ago.
We've driven through Freshwater and sort of, I don't know, 10 o'clock on Saturday night, and they think it's all kicking off down here. There's not a soul.
Downtown Freshwater.
Yeah.
We were going to talk about crime prevention techniques or making you a bit more crime hardened in terms of rural crime.
Yep.
So there are things people can do.
Yeah, there are. There's a number of things you can do. It all depends on what we're really looking at. I mean, if you're looking at shed breaks, there's things we can do for that. Mm. Just bits and pieces like that, really. Or just general sort of, if you see some suspicious things that you can do to actually sort of protect yourself and phone it in. Anything specific on your mind?
Well, I was thinking, we spoke earlier on about it is a crime for dogs to worry sheep.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
And you can, the farmers themselves can do something about it, and of course the dog owners can do something.
Yeah, definitely the dog owners, yeah. Okay. So what I think we'll do is, I've got a couple of examples of things that are actually relevant to the either way. So if we go through those, and then at the end of those, I'll give you the sort of the crime prevention advice, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
So the first one I've looked at is the dogs worrying livestock. You may have seen in the county press earlier this year, I think it's August and September, we've had a number of jobs whereby sheep have been attacked by dogs.
In fact, it was on Countryfile the other night.
That's what I heard. I didn't see it, but I did hear it. It's actually a pretty good piece. So it's quite important to get that information out there. Now, I'm a dog owner. I consider myself to be a responsible dog owner, and I'd look to everyone else to do the same. I mean, these dogs were savagely attacked. Those that survived the attack died later, so they lost a lot of sheep as a result of this. So the advice really is, actually, it's your responsibility to keep that dog under control when you're in a field or a farm that contain livestock. Now, the best way to do that is to keep it on a lead. Okay, it's quite simple. Okay, if you haven't got a short lead, use an extendable lead if need be, but you have to keep that dog under control. Now, if your dog attacks a sheep, okay, you will be looking at prosecution. The farmer can take out a civil lawsuit against you as well. So not only will you get prosecuted by police, but you could pay a lot of money in damages. Now, the chap from, I think, Hale, and the farm in Hale, his sheep went up to 7,000, 8,000, 9,000, possibly more, I think it was. So he was a lot out of pocket as a result of this one dog's actions. Now, we think it was a dog because dogs would generally go for the sort of throat or the underbelly, okay, in its... And that's where the injuries were, so we think it's definitely some sort of dog. And the dog was seen in the area at the time, so off the lead, with no owner. So the advice really is, keep your dog on a lead. If you're not sure, just stick it on a lead.
Yes.
Or go somewhere else.
That's fine. There's plenty of other places you can walk dogs.
Yeah, do you know, the island's a beautiful place. I mean, I go all over the place walking my dog. If I come to a field where there's cattle in there or sheep in there, thinking, do you know what, actually, I might turn around and go back the other way. You know, explore the island. It's got lots of lovely walks here. Explore it.
So. And it's common sense as well.
It's common sense.
And I know that farmers, their gates are there for a reason.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And all the farm gates have signs in there saying, cattle in the field, keep your dog under control. So all the signs are there, really. Yeah. It's just, unfortunately, a lot of people go out sort of late at night when they finish work and let a dog run off the lead. I like to let my dog off the lead. You know, she gets a better run. I could be out for 30 minutes, but the exercise will equate to about an hour because she's off the lead running around.
Yes.
So I know what they're doing, but actually you need to be a bit more considerate about what's around you.
I think a friend of mine's got a dog, and they have another friend who's got a field they can use.
So that's ideal.
There's never livestock in it, but it's got a closed gate and let the dog off.
That's
another thing, isn't it, with gates?
Keep it shut.
Make sure you shut it
out. So that was that one. On that note, actually, about talking about farms, it's not quite related to dogs, but during the course of the year, if you come across a field, I'm speaking from personal experience as well, and you enter a field with cattle, cows, with young, keep away from it. Because I didn't realise how many people actually get injured as a result of cows sort of stampeding, going for the dog. I made a slight mistake earlier this year, the dog was on the lead, and I was in the middle of the field, and all of a sudden I saw these cows coming towards me, and I'm thinking, I'm not quite sure about this. And they kept on coming, and then they went for my dog. Now, the advice is to let your dog off the lead. Because they'll go for the dog rather than the walker. Okay. My dog went off, and I went after it, and it was all good. but it's just something I've never really been aware of.
So they're protecting their young, aren't they?
Protecting the young, yeah. I didn't know they had young in the actual field, not until I got in there. Mm. But these things swooped down on me pretty damn quick.
But they're quite heavy creatures.
Yeah, heavy creatures. And when I come back and spoke to my other police colleagues, actually, do you know what? A lot of people get injured by cows.
Mm. Yeah, well, they're quite hefty beasts.
Yeah,
they're not going to mess about.
No, they're proper. Yeah, it's quite scary.
Yes. And again, you know, another good reason for keeping the gate shut is they get out on the road.
No, that's exactly, yeah. It does happen from time to time. Mm. But if that does happen to you, then I would say, you know, let the dog lead, let the dog defend itself, protect yourself, and then remove yourself from the field.
Yeah. Okay. Right. That's good advice.
Mm. Excellent. Yep.
So the other one we look at is something called raptor persecution. Now, that deals with birds of prey. Now, I know this has been in the papers quite recently. Mm. We've had a buzzard and I think it was a hobby that were injured. Mm. Now, what's happening is that people are setting up snares. Now, we believe they're doing it to protect sort of pheasants and all ones that are sort of breeding the young, breeding pheasants and stuff like that to protect them from the buzzards. The snares, we think, are probably illegal. We don't know that for definite. We've not actually come across them yet.
Right.
But what's happening is that the birds are flying into the snares. The snares get entangled around their legs. And they're losing a leg as a result. So I think either the buzzard or the hobby was killed as a result of the snare. The other one had to be put down. Mm. So it's quite sad, really. They are protected.
Well, no, so that is a criminal offence.
That is a criminal offence, yeah. So, you know, we are still making those inquiries to work out where the snares come from and where the birds were, but the birds will not survive. They can't land to feed.
No.
So it's quite a cruel, quite a cruel way.
They starve to death, basically.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Which is...
it's not nice.
That's not nice at all.
Yeah. So if dog walkers out there, if you're out enjoying your family and you come across these snares and you're thinking, oh, that looks like it's set up for a bird of some sort, phone the police, just do 101 or phone him or report it by email, and let us know and we'll go out and have a look at it.
I'll make the point, it's not an emergency.
It's not an emergency, don't phone 999.
But 101 is fine.
101 is fine or email. I'll give the email address at the end.
Would you know what a snare might look like?
It's just really a piece of wire in a loop, sometimes up in branches. You probably won't even see them, to be perfectly honest with you, because they are set quite high up.
Right.
But it's just a bit of a loop on a bit of wire when the birds fly in, or set up on a pole. Mm. Okay, it will get entangled around the legs.
Okay.
And I would say if you see a bird in distress that has been caught by a snare, phone it in straight away. Maybe not to the police, but certainly the RSPCA.
They'll come out pretty quick.
In our best interest to try and get free that bird. So that's that one. We've had a case on the island earlier on this year for a SSSI site. So sites of scientific interest.
Special scientific interest.
That's the one. That's the one. So there's something else we dealt with earlier on in this year. We've had a gentleman on the island who decided to cut down all the trees on the clifftop to increase his view, which he couldn't do. Unfortunately, no prosecution came out as a result of that. So that's something else we deal with. That's something slightly different from the animal side. But what I say is actually, if you're looking to make any amendments to your land registry will have details or part of the conveyance search. I know that should flag up whether or not that is part of a SSSI site.
I can put you in touch with a really good planning advisor as well, who will sort you out and tell you what you are and are not allowed to do.
Yeah, no, it's definitely worth doing because you need to be really careful. Before I worked over at Yarmouth, I didn't know this existed. Had no idea.
All right, okay.
So,
I've heard of SSSIs, but I didn't know that the average person could actually run foul of them that easily.
And this is what happened, unfortunately, in this situation. But to try and increase their sea views, which is very nice. No, they've actually broken the law.
And I suppose they're quite indignant when you or your colleagues turn up and say, actually, you've broken the law.
Yeah, that's it. They had no idea. But actually, it's your responsibility to actually find out the law before you start doing that work on that land.
Of course it is, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Makes sense.
It does, yeah. Not the last thing, but the biggest issue we've had this year was with shed breaks and breaks from garages. Now, this is an issue that's been going on for the past number of years.
Yes.
Okay, when sheds have been broken into by individuals late at night, and they're having a bike stolen, power tools and things like that. There are specific things that you can do to actually prevent that from happening. Okay, it happens generally late at night. There's a website called immobilise.com.
I don't know
if you've heard of it. You can register all your sort of expensive equipment on there for free. Okay, and it just, if anything gets stolen, it will flag up if it gets found by police and it can be returned to the rightful owner. So it's really, really good. Tricky. It's something we're trying to promote at the moment. Obviously, we encourage the use of alarms. Photograph your shed and everything in the shed, so when police come around saying, look, what's missing, like, well, actually it's one of these, it looks like this. So it's all things, it's just a lot of it's common sense stuff, to be honest. Using locks, if you've got anything important, anchor it to the floor. And it's just taking those extra precautions to make sure everything's protected, really.
Yes, absolutely. And that's all good common sense stuff. And we've still got PC Martin Eggerton in talking about
you do
all things policing in the sort of a more rural style.
Rural estate, yes.
You had a couple of things you wanted to mention now about...
Yeah. Yeah, we were going through wildlife crimes and things like that. Yeah, so there's a couple of things that I've got down as well, things you may not be aware of that are still illegal. Mm. One of those things is hare coursing.
Mm.
Got a lot of fields, a lot of hares, which are beautiful to watch.
They are, yes.
The Hunting Act in 2004 made hare coursing illegal. It kind of sort of starts after the harvest and ends around the end of August, around the start of September, where large tracts of land are left without standing crops. That's when you're going to see them when you're driving down the sort of mid of the road, you see them either side. Again, if you see anything suspicious, late at night generally, or people running around with dogs chasing after hares, it is legal.
Mm.
You need to phone it in and sort of let us know. So that's one of those things that happen every now and then. Not, it's not prolific.
No, but it still does happen. Yeah. Time, yes.
The other thing is we've got a lot of lakes and ponds across the island. So poaching for fish as well is also quite legal. It's something that happens, doesn't happen again very often.
No, I think people don't think that fishing in a lake is poaching, but it is, isn't
it? No, it can be,
those
yeah.
fish belong to somebody.
So it's, I've got a couple of points. It's the game or fish is not in season. If you fish for it out of season, it's going to be illegal.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing was if the poacher doesn't possess a licence or the fisherman doesn't possess a licence, the hunter used an illegal weapon for that animal, the animal or plant is restricted on a restricted land, the right to hunt this animal has been claimed by somebody else.
Okay.
So that's the things you need to look out for. But okay, it does happen. People sneak in there to ponds and fish them out.
Okay.
So it's one of those sort of quite random ones, but it does happen. It's people going there thinking, actually, I'm going to use this fish for my tea or someone else's tea. Or actually, I've got a business that involves fish and some other...
Okay, yeah, we'll get a few...
For my restaurant, just have that fish.
Yeah, that's exactly. So it is one of those things that does happen.
So, and you're also saying that... you and your colleagues have a vested interest in keeping
the
crime
I think
down.
It gets overlooked, I think, to be honest. We live on a beautiful island. I used to work in Staines, Middlesex, before I come to the island. My family's from the island. And I think it gets forgotten that 90%, at least, including the district commander, all live on the island.
So they do, yeah.
We all have a vested interest to keep the island safe. And I think that gets sometimes overlooked, is that we're out there trying to do the best we can with what we got, which is not much at the moment.
No,
actually, we all have that vested interest to actually make the island a safer place. The island is still a very, very safe place to live, and I think that gets forgotten as well. It's a beautiful place. Yeah. We don't have a lot of issues, okay, you know, in the grand scheme of things.
I won't go on my soapbox about it now, but some of the things that happen, A, get blown out of all
they
proportion,
do. Yeah, they do.
And B, where I used to live on the mainland wouldn't have made the newspaper, to be blunt.
No. Yeah, exactly the same. I was working in Staines in Middlesex, and that was really busy. I was dealing with everything from ram raids to murders to sexual offences. Come down to the island, and we don't get any of that.
No.
A lot of it's low-level stuff, and I think sometimes we lose sight of things a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it also gets missed, the dedication of the officers.
Yeah, that's it. No,
they're doing
frequently.
A lot more work than they ought to be
doing.
Yeah,
they do. We are short of officers. Everyone knows that at the moment. But the officers are working longer hours. They're putting in more hard work. You know, they are working their socks off to try and make the island a safer place. You know, but we can only do so much, unfortunately.
You can. Now, you mentioned a couple of websites earlier on that we would like to make sure everybody knows about.
So the first one, if you have your pens handy, is called immobilise.com. Mm-hmm. Okay. Go onto the website, immobilise.com, read through it, and there's an application at the end, and you can register your own items at home. It doesn't have to be sheds or anything like that. It can be phones, it could be TVs, anything. Can actually, I quite like to get this protected a little bit. So if it does go walkabout, actually, if the police do find it, we can return it to its rightful owners.
Okay.
And take a
phones
photo
as well.
Of it. Yeah, take a photo of it as well.
Yeah,
if you
anything
can.
Like that. Take photographs, you know, so we know what it is. Take down the serial numbers, anything you can do. Because one of the things police will ask you when they come to the address is actually, what was the telephone number? What make was it? What model was it? What's the IMEI number? It's all things you need to take note. Take note.
Number?
The
IMEI number.
Yeah. Every mobile phone has a distinct and different IMEI
number.
Does it?
Yeah.
If you punch in, I think, *#06#.
Something
hash,
like that,
you know, is that. It will come up with a specific number.
Oh.
Record it, write it down, store it away. Then, heaven forbid, your phone does go walkabout. At least then you have that specific number.
Yeah, that specific number. And the mobile providers can turn that phone off, so it cannot be used on any other network.
Interesting.
Yeah, the other one I want to draw your attention to is called Isle of Wight Alerts. I don't know if you've heard this before.
No, I've not heard of that one.
No, again, put it into the internet search engine, it'll come up, Isle of Wight Alerts. We can register you for that. And basically what that will do is give you a heads up if there's anything going on in your area that you need to know about.
Oh, that's useful.
So it's really good. So if there's a burglary series going on down the road from you and you're thinking, actually, no, I need to know what's going on in my area, no, you'll get alerts come through via text message or email saying, actually, be alert, keep your doors locked, keep windows shut.
This is not to panic you, this is to make you take more precautions or just double check your precautions.
Yeah, exactly that.
And keep your eyes open in case you see something.
Yeah, exactly that. We use that quite a lot for media appeals. So actually we've had a boat go missing from, I don't know, Bembridge Harbour somewhere.
Yeah.
It's actually, we'll send out a message alert for everybody in a 3-4 mile radius and say, keep an eye out for this specific boat, this is what it looks like. So it's a good way of us getting that information out there, so you can help us find this property.
Good.
So
it's really worth knowing.
Yeah.
So that's immobilise and Isle of Wight alerts.
Yeah, the other two, I think, that are quite important for the time being.
And, of course, anything you see, you can always ring 101 and talk to somebody about it.
Okay.
I've done that to report cattle wandering around on Middle Road.
Yeah, it does happen, cattle and sheep,
They're quite inquisitive, aren't they? Now, once they've found a hole to get out of, they'll go.
One's gone, the rest of it will go as
They follow, exactly that. The other thing is, really, it's quite important, is that if you see anything suspicious, is actually phone it in or actually take a photograph or a video of that. Because that will probably be part of a much bigger picture that you're not aware of. So you're thinking, actually, what are these guys doing late at night? They're parked up, acting a little bit sus. Thinking, do you know what? If you can get the registration details, fantastic. If you can get a photo, even better. Or a video, you know, it's fantastic. It takes the police on a grade one call, so that's the 999 call, 12, 15 minutes to get to you, probably, depending where the unit is at the time.
Yes.
In those 12, 15 minutes, that car will be gone. So chances are the police are going to turn up after the incident. So what we probably suggest is actually take that 20, 30 seconds, record it, get as much details as you can, and then we can do the follow-up inquiries. If we've got that car's registration details, we're about to track down, we know where they are and where they're going.
You're halfway there.
So, you're halfway there. So it's really just people being a bit more switched on, getting the details that we need to do our jobs properly.
Excellent.
And what if they weren't actually being suspicious? They just looked suspicious. Do the police
mind? It is a judgment call. Yeah. It is a judgment call, to be honest.
Yeah, but if you were to investigate, there was nothing going on here, it's fine.
No, that's fine. No, do you know, if we turn up thinking, actually, it's probably just a dog walker out late at night or something like that, then that's fine. It's just one of those things. We'd rather you phone us than not phone us.
Yep.
It's
excellent.
And I think that the last thing really is just take those necessary precautions to protect yourself and protect your loved ones and protect your property.
Yeah. And you can always ask a policeman if you want some help with...
Yeah, when you do see us out and about, there's nothing wrong. If you want to report something or ask us a question, just come up to us and ask us. You know, we're not the bad guys. I know sometimes we get portrayed as that, but we're not. We are trying to be the good guys. Yeah. We're trying to do what we can. You know, if you want to come into the station, if you report something, do that. If you want to stop to speak to us on the street,
do
that.
They're all very approachable.
Very approachable.
Yeah, do you know what? It's, you know...
You can even ask them about their bikes, because their bikes are quite something.
They
I've seen
are,
them.
Yes.
And they're quite special, those bikes.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
They are, yeah. So if you see your policeman about, don't be frightened, go up and say hello.
Yeah, we encourage that, really.
And you are neighbourhood policing, so that's the whole point.
It is, engagement is what we're all about, really. Yeah. We're trying to get people to come and speak to us, tell us your problems, tell us your woes, and we'll see what we can do.
Because it might be that you just say something and you go, hang on a minute, there's something else going on, I've heard about that.
And
I've got a bit more information, I'll pass that on.
Exactly. That quite often is the link. I had a case when I was in Cowles, beat officer, about 5 years ago, and it was just an off-the-cuff comment made by somebody in a pub. I was on duty at the time, and I was making some rounds. He said, I know this guy tried to sell me some stuff, and it linked in a whole big burglary series, and the next day we went around and nabbed him and got all the stuff back.
There you go, you see.
And it was just one of those comments.
The last piece of the jigsaw.
It was, it was exactly that.
Thank you very much for coming in, Martin.
Thank you for having
me.
It's
been really useful.
It has.
We will have this up on our website probably in the next couple of days. And so you can listen to it again, but all the details will also be on the website. Hopefully we'll come back in the early part of next year. We'll talk about some other of rural policing things as well.
Thank you for having me.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.